Run DNA has an extensive range of running and walking footwear. They're trusted by podiatrists and physiotherapists. The Run DNA fitter's advice is second to none. Pop into Run DNA, 20 Manton Street, Hindmarsh, or 391 Fullerton Road, Fullerton. They're open 7 days, plenty of off-street parking. If you walk or run, you need to Run DNA.
Welcome to Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's weekly sports wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define sport across South Australia. It's time for Hooked on Sport with two-time Bradman medalist Ben Hook and state golf representative Sophie Hilditch.
Thanks, Wallace. Good evening, everyone. Hello, Soph. How are you? I saw you were up to your armpits in a Varden at Royal Adelaide Golf Club yesterday.
Hey, Hoogie. Hey, Wallace. Yeah, I certainly was. I was playing in the Varden at my home club, Royal Adelaide. I was playing with my fellow teammate, Reagan Denton, who finished second with one under, and Millie Winnie from the Grange Golf Club, who had an outstanding two under. And do you know what, Hookie? It was really good to watch, and my game did not look at all like theirs, if I'm being completely honest.
Congratulations to Millie Winnie, and well played, Reagan Denton, who we're very, very excited about the way her career is heading. However, we really only want to know about Sophie Hilditch's form, please. How did you travel?
I shot an outstanding 9 over. It was actually, Hookie, it was unusual for me. I'm pretty much known for my putting and my chipping, but I 3-putted and 4-putted my way around my local greens, which is never a good sign, if I'm being completely honest. It was horrendous. And you know it's bad when both your playing partners tell you you had bad luck, and I think it's not bad luck if you just keep missing them.
Yeah. You know what I love is when someone says good weight on a putt, that always means it's a really bad line. That's generally my experience of putting. I played there today. Gee, it was spicy. It's they've got it incredibly firm for the fact that we've had so much weather. So would have been an incredible experience. Guys, can I just make an apology right off the top? We were supposed to record this episode about 47 minutes ago now, and here I am just finally getting online. I have to let you know that I've been at the Goodwood Saints Football Club for the presentation of the Gina Dutschke Medal. Goodwood Saints youngster Jessica Shire won it. It's a great story, wonderful family sports story that we just eat up here on Hooked on Sport. Her dad, Darren, played for the same football club. Her uncle, Stephen, played for the same football club. She's had a couple of years at West Adelaide and went back to her home club. Her little brother, Harry, plays for Goodwood Saints as well. Her mum is the team manager. And she has won the Gina Dutschke Medal, which is for the best and fairest player in the Division One competition. The club celebrated like it was a premiership night at the footy club tonight. It was quite incredible. So I have to concede that I did spend a couple of extra minutes there. It's a footy club that I used to play for a long, long time ago. So, yeah, congratulations to Jessica Shire, Mum Sue, Dad Darren, and everyone there at the football club. Just so excited. So, it was a really special couple of moments. Congratulations to Jess, who a midfielder, can play key defender as well. So, she'll forever be a Dutschke medalist as a 20-year-old.
Well, I don't like tardiness, Hookie, but you know what? For being 15 minutes late, I think that's a good one to be celebrating.
It was 50 minutes late. Hey, we're talking about your golf, Sophie, but you've got a great hockey background. There's a cool little story from the Adelaide Hockey Club that you want to share with us.
Yeah, Charlie Chappell, which is the grandson of cricketing great Ian Chappell and great nephew of Greg Chappell, made his debut for the Adelaide Hockey Club in the Premier League. Now, you know I'm a Burnside girl, so I don't think I really swing by the Adelaide team, but I will admit my brother actually plays for the Adelaide Hockey Club as well, and that was great to see. A massive achievement for the teenager. He was playing in their finals, and like you've spoken about, their finals are a bit hard to explain, so I recommend our listeners go over to that Hockey SA website. But wouldn't you have liked to have been a fly on that wall watching Greg and Ian? What were they talking about, Hookie? I mean, were they discussing the upcoming Ashes? Were they discussing the age of our current Australian team? Or were they just enjoying their grandson and great nephew watching him play hockey?
I'm going to go out on a limb. I reckon Ian would have been complaining about the umpires and how ridiculous the rules of hockey are, and Greg would have been trying to calm him down, because that's been the story of those two for pretty much all of their lives. So good that you could share this story with us. As someone whose granddad himself, an absolute legend of Australian sport. So quite cool, isn't it, when the name bobs up a second time, a couple of generations down. Of course, your surname is Hilditch, but you're the granddaughter of Bobby Simpson, a legend of Australian cricket. It's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is quite cool. It's quite cool to see the sport getting passed down in the families and how special it is to the family, I think. Incredible story. And I can't wait to see what Charlie does next.
You would have loved to have had Bobby watching your golf from time to time. I imagine he got to see you play occasionally.
Yeah. Definitely did. We've had a lot of special occasions on the golf course, actually, Hookie. He's a pretty harsh critique. I still remember him throwing about 10 balls when I do something wrong and asking me to explain what had happened. He actually refused to let other family members out. That was just Sophie and Popper time. So I've got some really special memories on the golf course with him.
We do need to talk some golf. We need to talk South Australian golf shortly. Just before we do, just want to share with you and our listeners that the Australian six-a-side lacrosse team, so this is the Olympic format of lacrosse that's going to Los Angeles in 2028. The Australian team has been part of the World Games in China. They took on Japan in the bronze medal match this afternoon, and they won in overtime 13-12. It's tremendously exciting. So you start to think that this group is heading towards potentially the Olympic Games as a real genuine medal hope. We've got four South Australians in this team. Two of them are currently overseas playing in the United States. That's Hannah Nielsen and Abby Thorne. The other two, absolutely genuine dinky die locals, Addie Cunningham, the goalkeeper from the Brighton Lacrosse Club, and Olivia Parker, who, a friend of this show, she's been on this program in the past, from the Woodville Lacrosse Club, part of that team as well. So they will be returning home overnight with bronze medals from the World Games, which I'm just so pleased for them. It's really exciting. Four genuine superstar South Australians who could be Olympic medalists in 2 years' time. How cool is that?
Oh, just absolutely incredible. And they all had outstanding games as well. Like Hannah Nielsen was just on fire, wasn't she?
Well, she's a veteran. I mean, she's in her late 30s, I think. She's been to 5 World Cups, Hannah Nielsen, and incredibly fit. She doesn't really play much anymore because there's no formal structured professional system over there in the US. It's college or you go on and coach. So she plays a little bit. They do have a shortened league for professionals. But, yeah, the fact that she can still step up and match it with these young kids who are often 20 years younger than her, it's pretty incredible. Yeah, and Georgia Latch, the star of that game, she scored the final goal. But Olivia Parker is just one to watch. She's just such a wonderful young human being who I think might end up captaining that team when they go to LA in a couple of years. So very pleased for all of them. Hey, Soph, I've got to ask your thoughts. It's been the breaking story of the afternoon that Grange Golf Club and LIV Golf seem to be, have pretty much washed their hands of each other, that they're going to go through 2026, but they are not going to be able to come to terms on what they expect of each other for 2027. It's a bit of a sad state of affairs, isn't it? Where do you think LIV Golf could end up in Adelaide in 2027 if it's not at Grange? Because I don't know if there's genuinely a viable venue.
Yeah, I don't know, Hookie. I mean, we have to have a big enough venue for all those stands, and Grange is kind of perfect with the 36 holes. They can close down part of the course and accommodate for all the spectators that they get. But, I mean, Hookie, I don't really blame the members, if I'm being completely honest. It's a massive ask. Their course has to be closed down for months. There's a lot of growing to do after they've had that spectatorship there. I mean, I don't think LIV Golf really came to the table, if I'm being completely honest to you, and it would have been hard to pass that member vote. But, I mean, it's a shame. Can South Australia hold on to LIV Golf if we don't host it at Grange in 2027?
Well, it's contracted right through to 2031, but it's going to be incumbent upon the South Australian government now to find an alternative venue if they can't come to terms with Grange. And yeah, I do think that the South Australian government has written a couple of checks that they probably couldn't cash, because they're really isn't an obvious alternative place. We have 3 other tier one courses. They are Cooyonga, Glenelg, and Royal Adelaide. Cooyonga's expected to host the 2026 Women's Australian Open. I wouldn't be surprised if Royal Adelaide hosts that in 2027. You cannot expect a club to host two major events back to back within a month of each other. I think that's unreasonable. Cooyonga may be an option, but it really isn't a course that is suitable for the men's professional game anymore. And Glenelg has had a redevelopment. They might be interested, but the scale of that course is such that it's going to be very, very difficult to get anything like the crowds, the galleries that they would hope to have, and certainly what they've had at the Grange. It might be half capacity to what the Grange could potentially host. And you're going to have to shut down the entire course for probably 8 to 10 weeks in the lead up. And that is a huge imposition on members, more so than what happens at Grange, as you said, Soph, where there's 36 holes. So, yeah, that is a conundrum that I don't think the government quite saw coming, and they should have. And now they are very much wedged. They may have to go back to the Grange Golf Club with a fairly sizable check, and that's going to be unpalatable to send a lot of cash to an organisation to benefit the members who are already paying, you know, who are already wealthy enough to pay $5,500-$6,000 a year to play golf. So, yeah, it's an awkward situation for everyone. And I have to say, the government should have seen this coming, and they've been hopelessly myopic with a lot of these sorts of situations. So it's going to be fascinating to watch it play out.
Yeah, I completely agree, Hookie. I remember when these promises first started coming out, and I think every single golfer in SA actually was thinking, how can the government be making these promises? Grange is there and their members are there, and I don't know if it's going to work out. So I'm not surprised at all, but it is a shame, and it will be interesting to see how it all plays out.
It all extends right through to the redevelopment of the North Adelaide Golf Club, Soph. And I've probably made this point before when I've been talking to Wallace on this podcast, but I mean, the Premier has said that he wants to be able to charge $500 for interstate guests to come and play on this course. I mean, you can go and play Royal Adelaide, which is going to be a vastly superior course for infinitely less amount of money than that. I think the absolute top fee to play Royal Adelaide right now is $400. And you want to play $500 for a course that I think, as Mike Clayton once said about Augusta National to Royal Melbourne members, it's a long way to go and a lot of money to spend for worse golf. And that's the problem that they're going to have at North Adelaide. They want to charge $60 for South Australians and $500 for interstaters. I tell you, if that's your market, if that's what you're thinking, you're going to get very, very few interstaters who are going to play North Adelaide. They're all heading to the Tier 1 courses on the Western Sandbelt.
Yeah, excellent point there, Hookie.
In Sophie's Star and Ben's Best, Sophie and Ben select one athlete each that stood out for them this week. Sophie, who is your star this week?
Oh, another tough week, Wallace, if I'm being completely honest. We're just having so many South Australians, just having incredible performances. But I've gone with Jasmine Fijo. Now, she's signed with Adelaide Lightning in the WNBL, which is the basketball league. She was part of the Central District Lions for the NBL1 flag last year. And she's now playing for Woodville alongside Erin Phillips, which was also just a side incredible story. About 2 weeks ago, she cleaned up in the NBL1 Central Awards, collecting 3 accolades for an incredible season. Her style is being recognised. It's aggressive. It's energetic. She's got Defensive Player of the Year. She's in the All-Star 5. And she's also got the prestigious Coaches Award. She's a mother of 4, also playing in the SANFLW for Sturt. And recently this weekend, she was in the prelims and she scored 32 points to get Woodville into the semi-final. This woman is just incredible and I don't know what she can't do. Being a mother, playing for the SNFLW, I mean, she's just outstanding. She's incredible. What do you think, Hookie?
I'll tell you what I think, Soph. I think Jasmine Fijo is up there with a couple of absolute legends of South Australian sport that people probably have never heard of. Jo Hill, people would know. I want to tell you the story about Jo Hill. She was a legendary basketballer, played for the Opals, played for North Adelaide in that central competition. But she would go and play afternoon netball for Jervois. And then on the way from Murray Bridge down to whatever basketball court she was playing, change out of her netball uniform and get into her basketball kit and run out and play basketball for North Adelaide that night. And the other cracking story that's very, very similar to Jasmine Fijo is a kid called Lauren Gibbons, who on Friday nights would go out and play netball for South Adelaide. And then the following night, she'd change out of the North Adelaide, out of the South Adelaide netball kit and into the South Adelaide basketball kit and run around and play for the Panthers in NBL One Central as well. So Jasmine might be, she's probably not ahead of Joe Hill, who was an absolute legend of Australian basketball. But I just reckon it is incredible. We've got these women who no one really knows that much about, but fancy playing SNFLW in the afternoon and then just traipsing out to go and play NBL One basketball and dominate like she is. She's an incredible story, Jasmine Fijo. There's a few athletes like that, as I've just shared with you, but maybe none better than her. It's wonderful. And yeah, they're in a grand final now. It's going to be fascinating to watch.
I don't know how they do it, Hooky. I'm still trying to learn how to hit the ball straight in one sport, let alone another one.
Talking about athletes that we are very excited about here in Adelaide, can I share the story of Isaac Hayne, who's gone on to win the famous City to Surf run, 15K race. That's a tough race, quite hilly on the way through from the city of Sydney out to the beach there. Broke his record of last year, won it last year, took 17 seconds off his time. He's still a fair way off the course record set by Steve Monteghetti. But we have this incredible distance running group here in South Australia. The obvious one is Jess Stenson, as we know, Izzy Bat Doyle, a two-time Olympian. Isaac Hayne lived with Caitlin Adams, not as a couple, but they shared a house together just in Goodwood until only a few years ago. And Caitlin Adams is a gun 10K runner as well, generally known for road running. In fact, I reckon both Isaac and Caitlin won the Burnie 10K together a few years ago now. So Isaac Hayne, yeah, maybe a bit of a smoky to get into the LA Olympics 2028, just coming into his own, 25 years old now, been very good for a long time. He wins a lot of these types of races, and can he step up on the track at sort of a 5-10K will be interesting to see. But yeah, we should be very proud of these young people, shouldn't we, Soph?
Oh, 100%. I think that's an incredible choice for the Ben's Best this week.
Now, Ben, you're serving first this week in Fair or Farce.
I am, Soph. Contacts have won their third straight premiership and 9 of the last 14 when they defeated Garville by 5 goals on Friday night. A dominant club is bad for a league. Fair or farce?
Oh, Ben, this is a tough one you've given me for this week.
That's the idea. We try and make them tough, Soph.
Oh, they're getting tougher and tougher. I think you started a little bit easy with me in the first week with Grace Kim. I reckon I'm going to have to go. Oh, I'm going to have to go farce, I think. I actually think a dominant club is good. I mean, over the weekend, Contacts had a great comeback win over Garville. It was really their last quarter, which was absolutely fire. It was a close call and it was a brilliant game. And I think we need to recognize that for Garville. It wasn't just a whitewash of Contacts. But I do think a dominant team is good for a league. They give spectators someone to root for and also other spectators someone to cheer against. They give the opposition someone to chase, an inspiration and something to aspire to beat. I think it means the club is doing something right, whether that be in their training, the team morale or game tactics. And I think that helps grow a game. And there's often, you know, often the world's best in multiple things. There's always been a dominant power through sections of the game. Like being a golfer, I have to look at Tiger Woods and he really dominated. And how incredible was that to watch? And he actually grew the games and, I mean, revolutionized it. And maybe the Contacts is revolutionizing netball at the moment and it gives something for the people to chase.
So I largely agree with you here. I think you're right. I think it is good for, in particular, elite and state level competition. I have a different opinion when it comes to community and junior sport. I think at that level, everyone needs an opportunity to win. But when we're talking about the top end, when we're talking about winning actually being more important than just the participation, then I'm 100% behind you. If we go back through SNFL footy, we remember Sturt in the 1960s, Port in the 1950s, Central District at the beginning of the millennium. They are the peak stories. And no one really recalls the six-year period where six different clubs won one premiership each. I'm always reminded of this, Soph. They only make docos about dynasties. I mean, that's what we research and look back on. So I agree with you. It is farce. It is great for a sporting competition to have a powerhouse and have someone to chase. I think you made a lot of great points.
Oh, Wallace, I think we need to record that one. Great points were made by me.
We'll do it, use it in the promo, Soph.
just date and time code that one because it's a rarity.
All right, Ben, I'm going to fire one straight back and you've given me a hard one, so get ready for it. Playing international cricket in Darwin in August is all about fulfilling television contracts. Nobody actually cares. Fair or farce?
Oh, and look, farce, you're right. It is absolutely to fulfill a television contract and they wouldn't really be playing this for any other reason. But I think the scheduling is really good. I think it's magnificent that these are being taken to Darwin in the top end. Nobody is really all that interested in these games if they were going to be played in Sydney or Melbourne or Adelaide or Perth. So let's take it to a town who will actually appreciate it. It's a great place for cricket this time of year. It's been underutilized, that region. We played a couple of tests against some lower ranked nations for a while, and that's all been sort of put the kibosh. So the fact that Australia and South Africa, the two teams that were in the World Test Championship, are playing, yes, a different form of the game, but they're still the same two nations playing. They're going to play in Mackay and Cairns and Darwin, of course. I think it's magnificent. We should embrace it. I think we should actually be supporting the fact that these games, yes, they're a little bit run-of-the-mill and no one's all that bothered about the results, but isn't it great that we're taking our most elite cricketers to these, I mean, it's not regional, but certainly an area that doesn't see a lot of international cricket. I think it's magnificent and I'm really, really pleased that that's, if those games have to be played, that that's where they're going.
Yeah, that's a good point, Hookie. I don't want to agree with you fully, but I mean, apart from the diehard cricket fans, though, I don't think a lot of people knew it was on, if I'm being completely honest. It's the middle of the AFL rugby season. And I mean, I just don't want to get burnt out from cricket before really this true season has even started.
Look, I agree with that. And I think that's the challenge of when you decide that you sell your white ball international matches solely to an organisation that has a paywall. So these are only Foxtel and KO games. I do think that's unfortunate. It's a different argument. But I think the fact that people can, in Darwin, can go to the cricket and see our national team, I'm really pleased about. Let's move on. I've got another one for you, Sophie. The AFL has too many rubbish teams. Fair or farce?
Oofed. Okay. Interesting. Jumping straight into the AFL when I've just mentioned it as well. Look, this is tough. I'm going to go a bit of a fence sitter on this one. I'm going to go fair-ish. I want to say that I want less teams in the league, and I really do think there's a time and a place.
You want less teams in the league? Is that what I heard you say?
Don't want less teams in the league.
Right.
Yes. Don't want less teams in the league. I think there's a place for teams to be battling out in last place, and I've always been a really strong believer in that. It's a chance for upsets. But all I've got to say is this year, the difference between our top nine and our bottom nine has been quite astronomical. I look at the Kangas, the Eagles, the Bombers, Carlton. I mean, they've been struggling to break the top eight for almost 5 years, really. And obviously, there's been a few years where they have performed. But I just think with the current balance between the draft system and free agency, it is hard for teams to both keep and attract the talent required to climb up the ladder. And I think there is a little bit of an issue, but I don't want to bounce straight into that. So I'm going to go fair-ish.
I'm going to go fair as well. My thinking is probably a little bit different. I do think we've made it too attractive and too simplistic to go backwards, to go forwards. The draft and all of its trappings are just too appealing right now. And if you are going to be a side that you don't think can make the eight, you're actually better off being rubbish and trying to collect the draft picks and all of those associated capacities that you can develop to try and then go forward in a shorter term. I would actually like to see us incentivize trying to be a middle of the road team to a good team, rather than just saying, well, if you're going to be middle of the road, you may as well be bad and be done with it. I actually think it's time for a final 10. I think we actually need a round in that bye week where we have two teams that try and play in. I think if you think about where we would have been 3 weeks ago, if there was a final 10, there would have been 15 teams alive. Port Adelaide still would have been alive. Essendon still would have been alive. Carlton still would have been alive. Now, they may not have made it anyway. Sydney obviously would have been alive. Sydney would be in 10th spot. And they would be a worthy 10th team right now. Imagine if you're 7th and you run into Sydney as a 10th team in the week of the bye. That would be fascinating to me. So that's the one thing I would like to see with the AFL, is go to a 10-team final series and eradicate the idea of, well, I was going to finish 11th or 12th, so I may as well finish 17th or 18th. Let's keep more sides alive for longer, and I reckon they'll strive a little bit harder for longer as well.
Oh, I love that. I hate saying that to you as well, but that's such a great point. I like the final top 10 and making it a bit more interesting. Hookie, I've been looking forward to giving you this one after last week's takes. The Crows' true level was exposed versus West Coast Eagles. Fair or farce?
Oh, farce. I mean, I'm stunned to even hear you say that, Soph. They won. And look, this was a game that I think if you put in isolation, it was probably one they could have almost afforded to drop. They knew that Collingwood had lost this week. They knew that Brisbane had lost this week. They knew that they were going to be top of the table, even if they dropped it anyway. You get over to a side like that, you've left one or two out. Tex Walker is the most obvious one because you're trying to rest him up and get him ready for finals. You get behind. It would have been very easy to say, you know what, just not our day. Let's wave the white flag. I think it was actually really good of the Crows to see them fight through and win when they didn't have their best stuff. So if you will know as well as anyone, the rounds of golf that you would be most proud in are the ones when you have got something really wrong with your game, but you just band-aid it around and suddenly you've struck two or three under. I think that's what Adelaide did on the weekend as well. Now, they're going to a game against Collingwood this weekend, and who knows, maybe that form carries over to the Collingwood game and then we have a different set of problems. But the fact that they were challenged, they didn't have their best stuff, and they found a way to win on hostile territory, I don't think we should be talking anything about the Crows other than that we should be very, very impressed with what they did in trying circumstances. I am not off them one iota as a result of that.
No, I'm actually in agreement with you here, Hookie. I also, I don't know about
what
you.
What a night, Soph.
It's bizarre. I don't know what's going on. Maybe our questions were too easy or too controversial. I'm not sure. But I do think it's hard playing weaker teams. The expectation is to win, and the other was really the underdog with nothing to lose. And I think it's really easy to just, you know, stoop down to their level a bit and hit the cruise control. But, I mean, looking at that fourth quarter, I was pretty proud of our boys.
Yeah, me too, Soph. They were excellent, and they're the favourites in the AFL betting. Not that we're a betting podcast here, but they belong to be the favourites because they're playing better than anyone else right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm tending to want to agree with you here.
In Hookie's Power Rankings, Ben reviews every state and national league team based in South Australia. Perform well, and you're a chance to make the top 10. Hookie, what have you got this week?
Thanks, Wallace. I'm actually going to run with a top 11 this week because, as Sophie mentioned, with Jasmine Fijo leading Woodville into the NBL 1 Central Women's Grand Final, they're going to take on Sturt. I've just had to sneak them in because they're such an exciting team. Jasmine, as you referenced, Soph, but also Erin Phillips, the great one, as part of that team. In 10th position, they've dropped three spots from 7th Adelaide Hockey Club. They went down 2-0 to North East. A couple of my good mates, Cheryl and Cass and Holly Evans, in that North East team with a big win there. So Adelaide Hockey Club dropped down to 10th. Seacliff Men are in 9th. We're talking hockey once again. They had a really solid win 2-0 over Adelaide. Of course, Sophie, you referenced that one. Charlie Chappell's first ever game of Premier League for the Peas. In 8th position, Central District NBL 1 men's team is still there. They're going to play West Adelaide, which is an absolute turn up. West Adelaide knocked over Forestville in an absolute thriller last Saturday night. So it's the Lions versus the Bearcats in the men's NBL 1 Central Grand Final. Central District in 8th. West Adelaide Women's Soccer Club in 7th. They won 3-0. They're 11 points up. They're going to win that competition comfortably. Old Collegians Rugby Club are in 6th position. They hold that spot. It's hard to believe they can't go any further up. They beat Adelaide Uni, wait for it, 88-12. Wowee. Brighton Lacrosse Club, the women, they're in 5th position. They hold that spot. They had a big win over North Eagles. Hey, next week, allow me 2 minutes. I want to tell you the story of the North Eagles Lacrosse Club. They're a fascinating little story I'd love to share with you. Metro Stars, the men's soccer club, in 4th. They beat Croydon 4-0. They're 15 points clear of 2nd. That is an all-time domination in the NPL Men's Premier League soccer. Sturt have gotten third position. They're 17-0. They had a very, very comfortable win over the Eagles on the weekend. They've dropped from second to third. The Crows, winners over the Eagles. I talked it up. But they've dropped from first to second because I could do nothing but move the Contacts Netball Club from third to first after their 5-goal win over Garville, their third straight premiership. They are the absolute queens of the netball court here in South Australia. They have been probably for 35, 40 years now, and they've done it again against their old rival. They go number one in Hookie's power rankings. Congratulations to the Contacts Netball Club, who will bow out of the rankings because their season is over at number one. Soph, what do you reckon?
Oh, I absolutely love it. Bit tough on Sturt and Crows with two comfy wins, but I mean, how could you go past the Contacts Netball Club? But I've got to blow the whistle here, Wallace. Top 11, are we allowing this rule change to happen?
Well, it's an interesting one. I mean, we might have to go to the committee after this, but it is Hookie's power rankings, and I think it was a top 10. But we'll see. We'll just get a yellow card out for this week, and we'll see how he goes next week.
When my co-host comes to me with Jasmine Fijo and everything she is doing, leading her team into a grand final with one of the all-time great individual performances, and Jasmine herself would say to me, it's all about the team. So I just had to put her team in the power ranking somewhere, and I just found an 11th spot for 1 week. Contacts will drop out. Everyone will shuffle up one. We'll all be happy.
All right. Fair enough, but I think it's a yellow card.
One yellow card coming. great show, guys. Excellent. Just really keen to know this weekend, Crows Collingwood, how you're feeling about the game on Saturday night at Adelaide Oval?
I'm feeling brilliant. I don't know about you, Hookie.
Oh, no, I'm a pessimist at heart, so I'm worried. I think they probably win only because Collingwood have really stunk it up the last few weeks. They look in a real funk at the moment. I'd love to see Adelaide win, and it's almost certain that if they win that, they're going to be the minor premier, and wouldn't that be pretty incredible for the town, two home finals here in Adelaide?
Yeah, absolutely incredible.
Enjoy your weekend, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
We've run through the finishing tape on another episode of Hooked on Sport. We appreciate you following us and leaving a review. This helps us reach more sports-minded people just like you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to your company next week on Hooked on Sport.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I'd encourage you to take a listen to Beyond the Club. It's a project I've been working on with Flinders University. Now I co-host it with Professor Sam Elliott, and we break down all the latest research on how to maximise the experience of junior and club athletes. There's a range of resources, special guests, and cutting-edge info on how you can make your club a safer, happier place for your kids and their club mates. Beyond the Club, wherever you get your podcasts.